Got it. Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, July 15, 2021, and it is 9 a.m. We're assembled, all three commissioners assembled in the BCC conference room for our county administrative workshop. Item number one, and we've got a pretty full agenda today, so we'll get right with it. Item number one is the sheriff is on board, and first one up is the evidence warehouse. Present, we have Sheriff Daniels. We have Facilities Director Ryan Johnson, and also our bean counter, money changer, whatever you want to call her, Finance Director Sandy Novak. So who's going to start it off?
I can kick it off. Thank you, Chair and Commissioners, for having us this morning. I'll try to make it quick because I obviously do have a full agenda. The Josephine County Sheriff's Office basically has an antiquated evidence facility. It could be... Although it's secure, it could be more secure. The building structure is fairly secure. Outside of that, we've been broken into three times now in the last year or so, year and a half, for vehicles, things inside vehicles and other equipment. So my goal here today is to start the conversation, or maybe continue the conversation, of a new evidence facility for the Josephine County Sheriff's Office that would suit the public's needs and the Sheriff's Office needs for many, many years to come. I think now is a great time to do so. And speaking with Director Novak, there is some monies there out there that would not cost our local taxpayers money in the form of CARES money and in the form of potential ARPO funds. And I'll let Director Novak talk about that would create infrastructure for Josephine County that is needed, number one, and not free, but, you know, basically kind of free money that the federal government, and I believe state government, have provided us due to COVID. So I think now's the time to light the fire and the iron's hot and build some infrastructure that is needed at little expense. And I'll let Director Novak talk real briefly about the finances and what kind of we're looking at. And then I can go in and have Director Johnson and I kind of discuss some of the kind of preliminary plans of what we're thinking and considering.
So with the CARES Act money, we set aside into the property reserve between Fund 12 and Fund 17, which is the law enforcement fund and the jail and detention fund, about almost $2.7 million. That should be sufficient to get started on the project and do the actual building piece of it. And then the thinking is some of the other add-on pieces to it, we will do an application for ARPA funds for.
Thank you, Chair. You planning on purchasing outright, or are we doing like a down payment and some payments in the future, or what?
I'm thinking of purchasing outright.
Just want to make sure.
That way we utilize those funds that are available to us now.
Right.
Commissioner,
is this a proposed building?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Out at the current jail facility.
Yes. Basically, okay. Big slab metal building. The variable is going to be the fire suppression system, and that's kind of...
Dig a moat around it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And we can get into more details. But I think the 2.7 will definitely get us there, if not, you know, real close to get it.
How much land is out there? This is just...
Behind our jail, I'd say there's probably 2 acres.
Oh.
Acre and a half.
Oh, yeah, at least.
At least?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So adequate parking for vehicles and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, good. Because I remember the old evidence room at the old jail, and that, you know, it was a room. You remember that?
No. When were you in the old jail? Oh, forget it.
No.
Were your hands behind your head?
No, they recovered a handgun that was stolen by an employee of mine, and I went to the evidence room, and they never could find it. It was logged in there.
We want to fix those things.
Right.
I had a very similar thing, and you know where I found mine? BATF in Portland. And when I got it back, it was completely worn out.
Huh.
I mean, worn out to where the extractor wouldn't spit the shells back out of it.
But that was That was a literally a room, and I don't know how they found anything in that room.
So what we're and that's part of it too is, you know, upgrading the storage system is huge. I've been in contact with a storage, you know, shelving.
The documenting system that goes along, so you know where to find it.
And that
I've been in the evidence locker, the present one. I took a tour out there. I'm not going to even say where it is, but I walked around there and I thought to myself, this isn't right. This is not secure. And when we're talking, things that are in that facility are directly hinged to the DA and court cases, future court cases. We need to really consider this, gentlemen.
Yes.
I mean, really consider it.
And that's really why I'm here today. It's, you know, Director Johnson and I have spoken a couple different times about just a concrete slab. I've done some research and kind of what I'm looking at is maybe like a 70 by 200, which is 14,000 square feet of a building, which right now we're currently sitting at 6,000 square feet in the building that we're in.
Is that added? Are you adding for the Connex boxes you're using?
And we got Connex. That's right. But we could really, Josephine County could really use an upgrade.
Well, and it would set us up for the future as well. We'd have extra space.
40 years.
For me, 2.7 sounds a little high for a metal clear span building. And so when you come back with numbers, I guess we'll see where that's at.
You know, then you start throwing in the asphalt and you start throwing in.
Right. Well, you got air conditioning and services.
And
development costs.
The architect, and it's been a couple of years, the first pass at it, you know, state of the art, and it was going to be block and everything.
Sure,
they were up around $4 million, and which is a huge number. And we know we can.
We're living in the past, Aaron.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, typically 350, 400 a square foot is the numbers they're throwing out these days, which is outrageous.
Dial 1-800 General Steel building.
Yeah, so right. If you go something along that line, although I think we're talking about finishing some space, so there's some offices.
Sure.
And then also like a vehicle sally port on one end where they can bring vehicles in, process them. So there'll be a little bit more than just your basic metal building.
Right.
And then obviously insulated, temperature control.
Well, depending on the height, you may, you know, if it gets up there in height, in order to utilize a lot of things, you go, I can only come this far up a ladder, so on and so forth. You get to those robotic things that goes and finds all that stuff. You can get as
right.
trick as you want. The only thing that I think that this checks the one box that's a requirement for me is that we need to have 20 years from now and somebody said, what did you do with that money you got during that CARES thing and COVID? I'll be able to just reach out and touch it. Mm-hmm. Let's go take a look.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't done for operations, and it wasn't done for staffing, and it wasn't done to make government bigger. It's to improve what we have right now.
Would it do anything for your growth or space problems you're having in other buildings?
Absolutely. Yeah, the front portion of the building, I plan on putting in approximately 8 offices. Okay. 2 interview rooms that we don't...
Now we're getting close to the 2.7.
Yeah, 8 offices, 2 interview rooms that we don't have an interview room currently even at the sheriff's office.
Right.
You know, and then I was... then go up, build up in that front area, put a big kind of a meeting room, briefing room.
Okay.
And then maybe a workout room that I'm going to try and get grant funded depending on what that looks like. But these are discussions preliminarily that Director Johnson and I need to make.
Do we even have like a lineup room?
No.
We don't even have that.
When we moved out of, in 2012, when they moved out of the courthouse, all of that went away. There were a handful of deputies. So I've been, and Director Johnson and I have been stair-stepping as we go to retrofit a garage warehouse into our patrol headquarters, an office, putting in walls for our JMET team, and now we're looking at potentially moving down the road into starting, you know, a major crimes division, which will add, you know, 1 or 2 people. So although we don't have a sheriff's office per se, and we really conduct operations out of the jail, this is just another piece that would assist in our growth down the road.
Yeah. Enhance the campus.
Yeah.
Having it all on one site there is, you know, it's going to enhance the security of the evidence facility.
Very much so.
Just that alone.
Yeah.
No regardless kid. Of the building.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it seems like
any other questions?
It seems like all three commissioners are saying go.
So move forward and try and get some numbers and design.
Yep.
That's what I'm hearing.
Bring it back to us.
Yep.
Okay. Before we decide to spend the money on everything else, but I want this to kind of move to the head of the class. There's a couple, three things that I have on my list, and they're just a very, very short list, but I don't, you know, I know how things go. Well, we're going to give it to this, we're going to give it to that, and before you know it, the kids' college fund's gone, and we don't have enough money for that, so we're not going to do it, and that's where we started out. So let's get started on this early.
Okay. Yep, we'll get
some. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
That's good.
Next up,
you got two more things, Dave.
Well, Aurora's going to do
this. Oh, she's going to do it?
I brought that.
I brought in the professional.
I was going to ask her after the table. I thought, nah,
I'll stay. I'll stay here, but I'll
do time. Aurora will be a table.
There'll be a silent partner.
We have the brains of the operation here now, so.
Okay, the bean counter.
Item 1B is intergovernmental agreement with Oregon State Marine Board. Aurora Frost is here to give us an update as to exactly what this means. I think we do know what it means, but however, we need to have an update every year.
Yep, so this one actually is going to be a two-year agreement, so you won't see me next year. For the Marine Board, yeah, that's true. they're allocating just a little over $300,000 for us for the two-year period to provide coverage on the water here in Josephine County. That provides one deputy.
Do they provide the boat? Because I get a lot, I got it one time that, the sheriff's got this great big boat down there at River Wild, and I saw it with my own eyes. It's got a big star on the side of it, and it's got four big motors across the back end. Ended up going to Portland or something.
Yeah, it wasn't
on the river.
Yeah, that wasn't
for us. He was, he got the contract to build this boat for Multnomah County. You know, but it, by golly, our sheriff, where are you going to put that big boat? That river isn't big enough, that one.
Yeah, the money mostly comes from boat registrations.
Yes,
what it does, exactly.
But I just wondered because
the Marine Board doesn't get any state general fund money.
No. Well, no, but they provide quite a service. Uh-huh. So I'm glad this is something
good.
We do and we'll continue to do. You have any trouble finding a deputy that wants to drive a boat?
I have been there right now. The deputy, Donnie Moore, is our Marine deputy right now. Yes, he's been through the schools. And
you got a backup?
Well, I do. Actually, yeah. I actually have two.
Good.
Part-time fill-in guys, the great Ernie Fields is one, who obviously was number one boat operator.
It's not Don Carter and Herman Bercher, is it?
No. Could be.
No. Okay. Not Ernie.
So I can keep our boat though, so no.
Further questions on the Marine Board?
Nope.
Intergovernmental agreement. Okay, then let's move on to C, modification of the U.S. Forest Service Cooperative Law Enforcement Agreement. Now, this isn't an intergovernment agreement. This is a different title. Is that because that's what the feds want?
Yeah, that's their title they had on it.
Okay.
So I think back in May, I was here with you guys for the original, and that was for $50,000. But since then, they've allocated an additional $20,000 for us, which is what we've been getting for the past few years. We've been getting $70,000 a year. So they found that extra $20,000 for us to be consistent with the previous years. And that just provides a Forest Service deputy for about half the year.
Yeah, the half where they're all at the Illinois River. Are they supplying a vehicle for us, please?
No, they're not. I had to purchase a vehicle a couple years ago.
Okay.
But they cover that, the $70,000 covers like the fuel and the maintenance on the vehicle.
How many Forest Service law enforcement they have now, Dave? Do you know off the top of your head? I'm running in Siskiyou.
There's one.
One.
And then they bring in operators is what they do. So they'll for like 2 or 3 weeks at a time, they'll send somebody down from somewhere else that maybe isn't as active as we are in Josephine County, which is pretty active up in the forests. So so anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does this person have any extra time to police or detective any of the illegal dumping that goes on those forest lands?
Sure,
that's part of it.
That would be part of his responsibility.
I mean, it must be overwhelming for one person, but
But it would only be limited to U.S. Forest Service land. He doesn't go on to BLM or go into Josephine County Park.
He'll go through it, typically, but most of his time would be spent in the forest.
So does he have any jurisdiction if in BLM land and Josephine County land?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right. He's still a Josephine County Sheriff Deputy. Mm-hmm. And he can respond to backup to us if we have to.
Yeah, the Forest Service and the BLM, that's just, I always love to say that's just managed by them. It's still our land.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, any other questions at all?
Nope. I'm done.
Good job, you two. Good to see you both this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. Appreciate it.
Can you handle these at the WBS, or do you want someone?
What's that?
Can you handle these at the WBS?
Yeah, if you just give me a quick rundown on it, I'll just say it, so you don't have to be we can use the session next week. And that's where we'll move both of these to.
Okay.
Gotcha. So.
Okay. Under item two, Department Business, Emergency Management, Emily Ring. And Emily S. E. is up there on Zoom. Emergency Management Director, and item number one, grant number 19-247 for water purification system from the State Preparedness Incident Response Equipment. Acronym is SPIRE. Emily, it's all yours.
Hi there, audio check. Do you hear me all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect. So this came about a little unexpectedly. We had originally applied for this piece of emergency preparedness equipment about 2 years ago. We were the second in line for this piece of equipment award. The first awardee dropped out or was even eligible just recently, and so we're next in line. And this trailer, if you're familiar with the one that City of Grants Pass already has through their public works department, it is very similar. I can give you specs on specs if you want. Essentially, to provide portable drinking water to residents under certain scenarios. It has to be maintained by a wastewater or water treatment member who's part of OREWARN, which is the water wastewater mutual aid network in Oregon. So it does need to remain deployable throughout the state, but it would live here with us. We would have first rights to it, obviously. As with then our neighbors would have second rights, and then we'd go to the state if it's not being used here locally. City of Grants Pass, Public Works would be my go-to for maintenance and operation if we needed to stand it up, because they're already familiar with the equipment. So what I'm asking today is your permission to accept this gift, if you will, and bring it on down.
Any questions, Commissioners?
Yeah, how similar to the City of Grants Pass one? Is it a semi-trailer mounted rig that's secure inside of a container, so to speak?
Yeah, so it's a self-enclosed tow behind. It's roughly 8 feet by 18 feet. It has its own diesel generator.
Smaller.
It's enclosed with a series of internal filters and...
Yeah.
So it has all the apparatus. The only piece that needs to be created either by us or with the City of Grants Pass is the output. Like, for example, if you have a line of folks with gallon jugs of drinking water or whatever, then you have to modify it for the public output.
Yeah, so it's not a fire hose. Does it have about the same capacity as the other one? If I recall, it was like 35,000 gallons a day.
Yeah, very close. So the average flow is 30 gallons per minute and up to 40,000 gallons a day at max capacity.
And do you think you'd stage it maybe out in the Illinois Valley or something where there's a river and a bunch of people, or would we stage it here and just take it wherever we needed it?
Well, the current conversation with our partner City of Grants Pass Public Works is that if we have two, we could stage them on either side of the river divide locally. We can look at another location. It is towable, so long as the roads are navigable. I'm not opposed to looking at a different location. It does need a certain level of security and enclosure, so that's a factor.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Beartrigger?
No.
Thank you very much. We'll move this to, so we'll put this on the next WVS. Is that adequate enough, or you need something signed today?
No, they want, they're eager to give it to us, but I don't know that it's going to make a difference. So that one's fine.
Okay. And this will come up on the weekly business session. If you would like to, would you like to come and do a presentation on this at the WBS, or would you rather write up something and then one of us can read it into the record?
I can do either. I'm happy to come do a presentation. That's not a problem. If you give me a better sense of what exactly you want the presentation to be on, you want just a summary of what it will entail and what its specs are? That.
Yeah, usually just the specs and then how we got it, okay. Who paid for it.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, Emily.
Yeah, I will do that. Thank you.
Sounds okay. Good.
Item moving on to item number 3, finance report business update. 3A is economic development request from Ivy Chamber of Commerce for growth and stability project. Explain.
We got a request from the Illinois Valley Chamber of Commerce for $5,000 for growth and stability due to a sharp decline in membership with the suppression of business activities during the pandemic. So it sounds like they're having a rough time keeping people paying memberships.
Well, they're probably having a rough time keeping people.
Well, if they're out of business, open. They're not going to pay any memberships.
You know, their client, their ability of customers out there is far less than it is in a more urban setting.
Yeah, and the previous leadership in that group kind of depleted the funds down to a point, and they've had trouble operating because that was right before the pandemic, and so they got a double whammy.
Yeah.
And so we really need to try and help these businesses out there as best we can, and this organization is great for doing that. They're pretty active for how small that community is.
That's $5,000.
Can we backfill this with ARPA money if we choose to?
You have to do an application just like everybody else.
They have well, but if we've already given it out of our economic development fund.
Yes, then we would be able to.
To backfill, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because okay. It meets the date criteria.
Any other questions about that? Seeing none, item B, economic growth.
Well, this shows 10, let's see, that's 25, that's 50. 55 businesses, is that what that means? Is there like 55 businesses in the Illinois Valley?
Where are you seeing that, man?
Well, there's 10 new gold memberships, 15 new silvers, and 30 new bronze.
Wow. That would probably be all of them then. I'm not
That's
sure.
50? I'm just a question.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I understand what they're doing, but maybe... be nice to have a list of
potentials.
Yes.
Is there 300 businesses out there and they have 55 in their organization? Because I know the chamber here does not have all businesses that are in.
No.
Right. Well, and this is the Illinois Valley Chamber, so it covers all those that are not in the city as well. Home businesses and large
Yeah, but
ones.
I'm just saying that's yeah. a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to do a search through Secretary of State and just see how many registered businesses are with that zip code out there.
Right.
Would you like them to do the presentation?
I'd like to at least have a sample of that.
Maybe answer the question that Commissioner Beartrager brings up. What's the potential out there?
Yeah.
You know, what is your potential? What's your goal? And also, how much? I'm curious as to what they gather in.
In dues?
What they gather in dues, you know, sometimes it's a matter of you're not charged enough dues, you know,
yeah.
to cover your
I think they just increased
operations.
It.
Yeah. You know, they lower dues down in order to get more people involved.
Right.
But it isn't covering the freight. So,
yeah.
You know,
right.
Maybe just a quick financial statement or something from them. That would
okay.
Or operating statement would be a better word for it.
We will ask them for it.
Okay. I'm not against giving them $5,000.
No.
Commissioner Fowler says it's just some curiosity questions that pop up when, you know, the requests spark these questions that we would like to have answered. So let's make sure that they are
they, maybe send a representative to
the WBS or get us the information for the WBS.
Okay.
I hesitate to make them come all the way in, but it looks to me like Ivy Chamber of Commerce has got B. B is economic development request from Ivy Chamber of Commerce for Celebrations Project. So is this, here again, maybe we ought to bring somebody from the Ivy Chamber of Commerce because they've got two projects on the same thing and give us an idea.
Yeah.
Do we want to make sure that we're not doing something for them we're not doing for Josephine County? Do we give Josephine County anything out of economic development, Josephine County?
We do.
Chamber of Commerce, okay.
Yep, but they haven't asked for any extra money like this group is asking for. And we did increase Illinois Valley's annual budget, but it was like 1,500. We moved it to 2,500, so it was not a huge move.
Right.
Right. I think you suggested that. And so.
Well, you know, these celebrations and stuff, which are great, and I think they're great, but they're usually sponsored by, you know, a club or something, and the
right.
revenues. So, you know, the people that attend the concert, whether they pay $5 or whatever it is, you know, it's kind of. Just to use taxpayers' money to hear to go put on your dance and everything, I don't know if I.
And do we have, I'm sure it's probably in here, what the Celebrations Project is, the description of it?
It's the concerts in the park.
Yeah.
Who owns Jubilee Park now?
City of Cape Junction.
Well, why don't they waive that fee? Or?
Right, because rental's $250, insurance is $750, musicians can be just over $1,000, sound system rental over $1,000, so it's $3,500 a week for six concerts. I encourage them to ask for something specific when they ask, and so I'm glad they did. So we have something to talk about instead of just.
So if it's $35,000 and they have six, that's $20,000.
I don't mind the county contributing, but I don't think the county needs to pay
the whole thing.
Boat. I mean, it's kind of like Boatnik. I mean, if you look at the county helps out, the city helps out, the Active Club helps, all the sponsors help. It's a community event that is put together by a lot of different entities, including the municipalities. This here is an ask for just write us a check so we can have a concert.
But we are only subsidizing it about 40% because it'd be $21,000 to put them on. They're asking for $9,000, so we'll have them explain that when they come in.
We may do like a matching funds thing too. They come up with X number of dollars, we'll match it.
We'll match it.
Or we donate security, an extra deputy like we do with Boatnik, or there's other, we can donate in kind too. Doesn't have to be cash.
Gotcha. This would probably be another one that could, maybe. Probably not pandemic related. No, it'd be economic development. No, just entertainment. So we'd have to ask, yep. Because that would be straight out of the economic development fund.
Mm-hmm. Which, how much money is in that?
So, we want to move this to the WBS.
Fairly tight.
That's what I think.
It would have to be week after next, WBS.
Okay.
So, that gives them basically 13 days to come up with the answers that we're asking and put together a presentation for that meeting. And then, so we closed on that one?
Yeah. I think so.
Item number C is economic development request from So Ready for annual dues. And their annual dues, I'm assuming, went down because of all the money that they've gotten from.
No,
that's not true.
It went up.
Yep. They brought on extra staff to help manage all of those funds for Jackson and Josephine County. And they know that's going to be a temporary thing, most likely, because it's pandemic paid for. And so they'll go back down afterwards. But they've been a great partner for that. This is just our annual dues.
Why did they go up?
So we had budgeted $50,000 for them for annual dues and CEDC. It went up from $25,000 to $33,540.
That's significant.
$8,500.
Well, the invoice was made out to Commissioner Darren Fowler, so it's your checkbook.
Let me see, where is my county checkbook? I got a card.
We're going to call Judy. She runs the books.
Well,
that's
true.
That's true. Judy does.
There you go.
No, but they've been a great partner. They've been able to flex when we've asked for more.
How much was how much was it usually?
25,000.
So it went up 10?
Eight and a half, roughly. Yep, so a third, 30%.
And we, and...
Well, tell them so far the inflation is about 8%. So.
But might I assume that this could go down when we get done with COVID, that increase is because of extra staffing for the extra work they are doing?
It could be. And then in this last round that they just closed out, that one for that April one-week closure. They used some of their admin fee actually and gave it to businesses just to make the numbers all work.
Yeah, because we're paying them to administer this stuff too. So mm-hmm. it's not like this is paying for all that.
Well, that's nowhere near what it costs to administer.
This is just dues. This is not when we pay them to do a project.
That's a pretty significant increase.
Yes, it is. But total what we pay them in a year's time, it's substantial.
Yes, well, especially
pandemic.
But
we're paying for a service. We're paying them to do something for us that we really don't want to do for ourselves.
Well, we're not equipped to do the vetting of those businesses.
And it would be very confusing. Imagine the headlines if we tried running our own program. Holy crime.
It would spill over into politics.
You think? Exactly.
No.
That's why we keep it at arm's length.
Okay, so do you have any problem with item C? Increasing the dues?
No, I
want an explanation.
Yeah. Okay. If we're going to move that one to a WBS.
Yeah, that one goes to WBS also. Yeah,
let's have them come up with, did everybody's go up that percentage? We aren't targeted, I imagine.
Or why? I think the question is why.
Yep, and is it temporary or is it permanent? Those are kind of questions.
Okay,
easy.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Item 3D is American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA is called. Application and scoring process.
Yep. So the task force has come up with an application and they'd like to go live with it on July 26th and begin reviewing applications as soon as August 4th. And so you have a copy of, well, this is kind of, it's an online application and this is, we put it over into Word so it doesn't look as pretty as it does online. But this is what the application looks like. And this is basically how we would be scoring it.
And these are for all the funds that are not the business relief.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a separate thing we contracted with SoReady. So this one is all the rest. Internal customers that work in Josephine County, our different departments, mm-hmm. and outside like nonprofits and other entities that are looking for help.
And it sounds like the city is going to use the same process. And
yep. We're kind of ahead of the city, and so we're able to help them in this regard. And that the committee, this was unanimous, I think, from the committee. Mm-hmm. It turned out really good. Yep. And this is thanks a lot to John McCafferty.
John McCafferty did a beautiful job.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that'll be the criteria. The scoring scoring sheet will look a lot like this application.
I'd like to see the application itself. I mean, this is what's going to be on the application, but I'd like to see how.
Yeah, the format it's in.
The format, and I can send you that link.
Okay. You bet.
Okay. You're vibrating.
Just a bit. The table. yeah, it's been going very well in those meetings. Because it's a lot, it's a big elephant.
Oh yeah, because you got to be fair. You're trying to.
And so we made sure everybody's coming through the same portal, the same application, so we can apples to apples. Okay. Sounds good.
So we're all set on that one. Yeah. Item E is broadband request for qualifications.
Mm-hmm. So this
and
is
Wally's here.
Just in case.
thank you. So the we put out an RFP, and we got
RFQ.
Yeah, initially we put out the RFQ, and we got some engineering type builds, and the committee would like to take that and go to the next step and do an RFP, and we wanted to make sure that was okay with you first before we do that.
Right,
just the next step.
Next step.
But there's been some talk that we don't want to start over and have an RFP and waste this effort on the RFQs. We wanted to, there was the suggestion of just going back to the three companies that responded to the RFQ and saying, okay, then what would it look like? Show us your proposal. Since we already got down the tracks a little ways. There is one person who's not on the committee, who has been a resource, who has written past plans for broadband twice in our county and is kind of angling to write this one. And I think it's inadvertently pushed the group into, he's very persuasive, pushed the group into thinking, well, we need to do it this way. And so I think the RFQs are good enough and we should move forward and not go back and start over again. But that's just my opinion. The group that was in that subcommittee meeting was kind of following what that person was suggesting of going back for an RFP. Right now we're about 3 or 4 weeks ahead of other folks in trying to get someone in broadband to come do our plan. If we go back, we'll be back with everybody else in the pack that is trying to do this very same thing. And so that's my concern. Just wanted to bring that to you guys.
So you're leaning towards
this, plowing forward on
this, this person that this person that says they've done this before and can do this for us.
Yeah, I'd rather not have him do it. Yeah, I'd rather have these three companies that responded show us what their RFPs look like.
Okay.
What their proposal looks like, really. Because they've already invested the RFQ time.
True.
I'd hate to cut them off and say.
Yeah, I think that's a bad signal for future right. and projects that we were going to have.
Right, and there was one company in there that looked really good and hungry, a new startup that's only been around less than a year. But someone who's responding to this pandemic money flow. Mm-hmm. And so I think out of the three companies, we're going to be able to find one. If it's not that one, it would be one of the others. But I, like I said, I hate to double back. But I see the thoughtfulness in it. So I was hoping for you guys' input on it.
Go ahead, Herman. Sorry.
Well, yeah, you know, there is also the capitalistic approach that these companies, you know, we give them the pathway because we just here 4 months ago finally got broadband where I live by a brand new company.
Right.
Okay. Just
yeah, that fiber ago. Just went down the road.
No, it's not fiber. It comes by Dish.
Okay.
And goes to
direct line of sight.
Yeah. To Mount Baldy.
Right.
And it's as fast as fast can be. You're talking to a guy that barely knows what I know what I'm talking about, but my son tells me it's as fast right. as fast can be.
Having moved into your neighborhood, right. Let me talk to you after this meeting.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you.
I well, got
talk
started
to Tyler.
Very
don't
unhappy.
Talk to me.
Okay.
Talk to Tyler. Because I don't know what I'm talking
anyway.
About.
Anyway,
well, I'm a user.
I think Josephine County, and you're absolutely right, everybody's going to get on this because there's going to be money available for it.
Yep.
So I think we need to be out in the pack and get our contractors so that you don't end up with, oh yeah, we've all of this stuff. We got so much business now we're going to overcharge you because that's done in business. I'm so busy I can't do your job, but if you really want me to do it, I'll do it for X.
Well, the more providers out there, the more the price will go down.
Exactly. Competition. Good health yeah. competition.
Yes.
True. So do you guys want to move forward with this group of three and see what their proposal looks like?
I would like to see what their proposal looks
like. I would, yeah.
Well,
but also taking consideration there may be somebody else out there.
Right, which we wouldn't know about that if we're just going to reach out to these three.
Well, and you so, never know, you know, it starts getting in the paper and other people, a lot of people don't know what we're doing.
and some do.
How many people are watching us online right now?
No one.
So, to my point.
There goes my matters from commissioners.
No.
Okay. Well, it sounds like good direction. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll work with Commissioner Fowler, Director Novak, and we'll craft further documentation as appropriate and bring it back to you as soon as possible.
And John.
And John. Yeah.
And John.
We want John. Very
okay. We want John in on it.
The little inter-county committee, if you will.
Yes.
Work group. Okay. Thanks.
That's yeah, and this awesome. Keeps us in the lead. We hope that when we find the person, we can grab the library district, school districts, and start looking at this holistically in our county. So.
Maybe.
Okay. Okay, we got that one put to bed. You have direction, all of you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Item F is Oregon Health Authority.
Don't leave, Wally.
No.
Got it. This is an interesting topic, too.
Well, yeah, but matters for commissioners.
This is chairs. I pull up a chair here.
Yeah.
They want you there for matters, too.
Elected official, just like we are. Oregon Health Authority, IGA number 171427, for tort liability coverage as a provider for Psychiatric Security Review Board. That is a mouthful.
That's a mouthful, and I know Leah is on. I don't want to put her on the spot. I think she's...
She's reviewed it.
Yeah, I think Leah, are you?
There she is.
Are you going to be able to talk a little bit about this one, PSRB?
Yes. Option Southern Oregon provides our services for Psychiatric Security Review Board. This involves people in the criminal justice system who may have some psychiatric problems. Sometimes they can be a danger to the community. And so the state provides insurance to cover tort liability for these cases. And so I don't know why they don't incorporate this part, this piece of insurance into the main contract with options for mental health services, but the state has it separately. So this is a contract with the state where we agree to accept their insurance coverage, and then we contract with options because they provide the services, saying the state will cover them.
Right, so no cost to the county?
But it's for insurance coverage.
What's the liability limits? And the reason they don't incorporate that in the contract is that would make sense, and we don't do things that make sense. What are the limits to that policy?
I'm sorry, I do not have the contract in front of me. I believe it's in there, in the amount, in the IGA.
I'm scrolling through, Leah.
And I think it covers, you know, people that could be dangerous to others or themselves. I think that's the language.
Yes. Yeah. And there have been instances, it's not very common, but there have been instances of people who are on parole or probation. Well, let's just say that once in a while, situation causing liability does occur.
Oh, yeah.
Must be on page 6 of 11.
That's a nice way to put that, Leah.
Well, that's exactly it.
Well spoken. Okay, any other questions about item F?
We're going to have you on that.
Nope.
Okay. That just gives me.
Seeing none, thank you, Leah, very much.
Yeah, and no cost to the county. I wanted to make sure.
Yes.
Right, okay.
All right.
And since it's self-insured.
Thorny subject with them sometimes.
Well, it seems like things might have ramped up over the past year and a half that they might have more concerns.
Moving along.
In fact, they do.
I bet they do.
I want to just leave it there for now.
Moving along to other business, is there anything that needs to come before the board?
Well, I just thought I might give a little report on the Sportsman Park, what happened with the meeting last night.
Great idea.
They had multiple topics, but the topic that we're most concerned with is the transfer of the park. Didn't seem to be any big opposition. Questions, but no big opposition. The question was the cell tower, which I've been saying since the beginning was going to be the deal breaker. And they just wanted to know, well, how long is that contract? Is it in perpetuity? Those kind of things. So they want a little more information on what that's about.
Were they pretty welcome to the law enforcement area designation?
Well, that's where the cell tower, because they view it as the cell tower is going to pay for it's a wash.
Right.
And it is. When you run the numbers, it's pretty much a wash. By the time you pay the taxes And then they were pretty adamant about eliminating Josephine County current law enforcement office. You know,
sure.
They want to make sure the language is narrow and it's got sideboards on it, so you don't get somebody from Multnomah County coming down here and say, "Well, I'm law enforcement,
right?
I get to use this for free." So,
okay.
Other than that, I think we're on the right track. We just get some of those
sounds
questions.
Promising.
Well, as liaison to parks. You should probably.
That's me.
That's you. Oh, get more better. Yep. Never mind. Commissioner Fowler, have a nice day.
I handed
day.
That one off.
Have yep. a nice day. Okay.
I got plenty that I'm liaison to.
There you go. Yeah,
I'll put it on for next Tuesday. We'll make have our potentially final discussion about that. And
yeah, because if that thing goes away, let's just, I have no idea what it says, but if it goes away in 5 years, then they're going to say, okay, so how do we recount?
Yeah, it reverts back to us, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, as long as it's not, or whenever it becomes not a gun range.
No, I'm talking about the cell tower.
Oh,
if that goes away, then how are we going to shore up giving out free membership to law enforcement? So
be nice having particulars. Are they co-located on that too? Because that's quite an amount.
Yeah,
and so I bet there's two or three carriers on there, and then they usually don't go away because one of them always wants it.
Look, it's 5G. I don't know how that's
going to
play out.
In the very beginning,
too much, right?
Cell towers were temporary. In the very beginning, cell towers were temporary. They were only be allowed for like 10 years, and then everything was going to go satellite. And that was a mandate. You're going to be satellite because we're going to have these things poked up all over the place.
And it may be something as easy as that we just put language in there. If the cell tower revenue goes away, that the agreement with law enforcement goes away or whatever, you know.
Okay. We'll sort all that out.
Or we have to re-talk about it or something. Well, yeah. And it, you know, like I said, we can get there. It's just answer the questions and make the make the changes.
Okay.
Well, I'd rather renegotiate than have something go away automatically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So I like your second thought.
What's that?
Yeah. Renegotiating, not just having something go away. If the cell phone goes away, the law enforcement goes away.
Right.
I'd rather
right.
open up a talk.
Yeah.
And right. even though it may not be us, it'd be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll talk about it again on Tuesday.
Commissioner Fowler, do you have anything to contribute?
No, I just read a list of businesses in Josephine County, Grants Pass specifically, that got ARPA funds in the newspaper last night, and I was a little shocked.
$900,000.
Yeah, to one local business, which has a lot of
that's a lot of money, though.
And a lot, it is a lot of money. And then I saw other ones that had very little, and I'm sure there was some questions raised when people saw that list. And that's, we want to make sure that everybody has equal access to this monopoly money. And sometimes that isn't the case because in Josephine County, a lot of businesses say, man, get the government out of my face. I never want to talk to them. I don't want your money. And they want to tough it out. And I keep telling folks that, hey, the government's the one that shut you down. And so maybe you need to take some of this money to get employees to come back or get your inventory back up or whatever that is. And so the ongoing conversation of business aid, which is happening right soon here in this last round. I think it's the last round. I'm still curious what the state's going to do with their half of the money, because I haven't. They did some landlord help finally, but I wonder who's watching that state half of the money, because I don't hear a lot about it. I don't read it in the papers, and they got a bunch of money. And so we'll see how that all works out. That was my only comment. It's just a little shocking to see some of the size of those awards.
One thing about this whole thing that concerns me is the government is creating a dependency on them. And the longer we continue to take money and wonder what they're doing with the money and hand the money out because of this and because of that, we're never going to get back to normal. You got to just say, that's it. Get out of our, hey, you get out of my cloud,
right?
Whatever.
Well, it is.
It is. It's business. Create this dependency, and you're creating now. Young people don't want to go to work,
right?
And they're getting more money now. Still, our push from this end and from businesses should be on President Biden to shut this valve off.
Yeah,
it is going to get shut off at one time, and if the government makes up 40% of your customer base,
when it's too late, it's going to get shut off.
And then it gets shut off.
We need to be having that narrative now instead of encouraging businesses to go in and get their fair share. Let's just get back to normal. That's
the only way that valve's going to shut off is if the midterm elections change the regime, because right now they're going to keep printing money.
Absolutely.
That's unfortunate. Just this this last bait and switch nationally with, sign this infrastructure bill and that'll be the end of it. Oh no, we got another pile over here and we're not doing that until this.
Well, look how much money anybody that has a child under 18 is going to get. That just came out.
Yes. That is amazing. Very concerning.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
And they're not asking for receipts. Where's my receipt for the child care or my receipt for the medical visit? Or
what we're not talking about, and I brought it up earlier, is we're already 8% inflation. So if you got $100 in the bank on January 1, you only got 92 now.
Yeah.
But the Fed said it's not going to be a problem.
Oh.
We'll print more.
Okay. I guess we have to believe everything we hear.
I have a funny feeling we're in for some tumultuous times.
Do you have anything, Irwin?
Yeah, I got a complaint. There's too many mosquitoes in Josephine County.
Excellent. Let's start a campaign.
Do you have the problem out at your place?
Do you?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm not happy.
I've been there for 42 years, and I have never, never have had mosquitoes like this.
Wow.
Are the mosquitoes flying around?
Yeah.
Then going back and forth from hemp field to the dope field to the dope field.
To the winery field.
I have no idea.
One-winged butterflies and bees with no stripes.
Well, I have no idea what is causing it. I have no idea. But I can guarantee you, at 42 years of living out there, most of the years we have almost none.
On a drought. And in a drought year, you have a mosquito problem, which is absolutely connected directly to standing water.
Right. I don't know what's going on. All I know is it is crazy.
Yeah.
It is really crazy this year.
You know, I was just going to say, we don't have a mosquito problem at all on Gilbert Creek.
Well, I'm glad to see that Commissioner Fowler has the same problem I do. I'd hate to be singled out again.
Of course, I'm only there for 5 months, so I don't have the same.
It's an EFU problem, and I'm not too worried about it.
mosquito, listen, it is serious because mosquito problems are a county problem, and there's many counties in the state of Oregon that has mosquito control.
Wow.
Okay.
Didn't know.
So, and I think we need to start looking into grants or stuff like that. And but there's a lot of counties in Oregon that have the county actually, the road department takes care of mosquito control.
Huh.
And I wonder if we're heading down that road.
But they could only do it on public lands or something, right? They couldn't go onto someone's property.
They just go down the roads.
Okay, just on the roads. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
The bar ditches.
Mm-hmm. So.
Be another nose spray campaign.
I was thinking the same thing.
Leave my mosquitoes alone. I'll feed them.
Well, you add up the ways in which we're supposed to cause cancer. Between the turf field out there, I think it's kind of like the weather.
I just wonder. I just thought it was a good. If anybody is listening, which they're not, that understands mosquitoes and that whole mosquito science, tell me why we have 1,000 times increase in mosquitoes.
Somebody knows the answer to that.
Yeah.
I just don't know who.
Yeah.
It's the crop.
It must be the cannabis.
I don't know.
Somebody needs to look into it. Maybe it's crop. Maybe it's one of those wonderful offshoots from the industry.
Unintensive.
I have an idea from Robert Brandis. This is an update on public work because we've talked about doing this once in a while. And chip sealing is moving along as well as can be hoped. We put down just over 16.5 miles of our budgeted 42 miles. We did pull off for this week due to supply chain concerns. Roadway paint is the big one. They can't get paint for some reason. And it's there's a resin plant in Texas that went offline for maintenance or whatever.
That's been blamed for a few things. That's been blamed for a few things. That must be a big plant.
And why are they out there sandblasting the paint off the crosswalks at Fort Benoit School if they can't have any paint?
Well, because they now have some paint. We could later... Said for at least the entire state, maybe more. We didn't want to chip seal more than we could later restripe with paint. Not a good idea to not have a center line of park lines on the road. Sorry. Beginning traffic analysis at Fort Benoit Elementary, triggered by the school district reconfiguring their parking and student drop-off area. It's a good chance for us to tighten up that zone and improve the signing and operating there at Hunt Lane, your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
School district is aiming to minimize car-bus interactions within their school. We want to make sure cars, buses get off Upper River Road as efficiently as possible. Williams Elementary School, which we get is a hot topic out there. We've got nearly all the flashing school zone components because we shot down the loop-de-loop out there, roundabout. And they said, well, how about some signs? How about some crosswalks? So on and so forth. So they put school zone components are now in-house, waiting on delivery of the poles. We'll be out the next couple of weeks to finalize locations, nice. Set and pour concrete pads, and then get the lights up. Should be up in time for the start of the fall school year. So that's moving forward.
You recall if that's solar or?
Big pardon?
Is that going to be solar?
I think it is. I think we're going to try solar.
Most of those kind of hard now. You got LED light bulbs, you can do it a lot better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, them things don't hardly take
anything. Take anything, yeah.
Beacon Drive, the city water line project, which held up our sidewalk and widening project, ran into utility conflict. Gas and fiber are less than 2 feet apart in the trench. We're now working with city to determine the next step. CenturyLink is aware of the conflict. We're now leaning on them to keep the move happening as quickly as possible. Lastly, as mentioned on the phone, phase 3 Redwood Highway improvements widened to 3 lanes each direction between Dowell and Tussie Lane. Also realigns Redwood Avenue and Allen Creek Road. $12 million asked for preliminary engineering and right-of-way only. There's no right-of-way purchase out there, by the way. No land acquisition necessary. ODOT stated the project is consistent with adopted plans and also received strong support in Jackson, Josephine County during RVAC meetings and other discussions.
That's something.
This project funding, along with funds request for truck climbing lane on I-5 stage pass and improvements on Highway 42 Winston area south of Roseburg, was approved to move forward to the state level for requested funding through ODOT's Enhanced Discretionary Program Fund. Along with funding, will be very competitive, so fingers crossed. But at least it's jumped that next step.
Yeah, it's not kicked down at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that would just be a huge deal. That's getting more and more frustrating for folks every day on that Redwood Highway.
I think we're waiting for approval from the state. I did not know if we change the speed limit on a road, we have to get the blessings of the state.
Hold on.
Yeah. So they're going to, they did a study on Hunt Lane. And they're considering 35 or 45. They don't know which one. Because
if it's not posted, it's a basic
it's
rule.
55.
Which is 55.
Right. And Fort Benoit School and the Armstrongs at the other end are getting tired of cars, and because they don't stop. They think it's a drag strip.
It is a little.
It's pretty long and straight out there.
Yeah. Well, it's
and
three
you can
quarters
see.
Of a mile.
Yeah.
Where's this now? Huh?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Don't tell them.
Exactly.
And they forget that they have to stop at the end.
Yes, because there's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go. So,
that's right.
Now, whether putting a sign that says 35 miles an hour is going to help or not,
who knows?
I don't
right.
know. I wanted to put a big speed bump right in the middle, but Brandis right. wouldn't see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speed bump. Yeah.
That's what they do in Mexico. It's called topas.
Yeah.
And the communities will do it themselves.
Yeah.
And
we put some on the camel humps to slow people down.
Yeah.
Yep. Same reason.
I remember the camel hump. The camel hump discussion we had on 9th Street, and these had to be cement with rebar and stuff in it.
Yeah.
All the camel humps on 10th Street now are asphalt.
Oh, are they?
Remember they said, we don't put asphalt camel humps because they don't last. And they're all
they put the rubberized one in.
Rubberized ones out and put in asphalt. Under matters from commissioner, and I know it's true because it was on YouTube or Facebook. And we've been told that YouTube is the one that fact-checks everything.
Right, they're the gold standard in fact-checking.
If it's not on YouTube, it didn't meet with their criteria. But it was ironic, very ironic, that the George Floyd picture that in Cincinnati or where Minneapolis got hit by lightning. Nothing was hurt in the building, but that mural or whatever it was of George Floyd got a direct hit. And I don't even think it put the power out in the building.
I don't know
but
how a concrete wall gets hit by lightning.
Right.
Well, it got hit by lightning.
An act
and
of
I
God.
Thought to myself, wow, somebody is looking, aren't they? That's crazy.
Well, they ought to fact check the president. He's said that he was in the Senate for 180 years and vice president for 10.
And that's the truth, because YouTube did not censor that.
No.
All the stuff that I read on there about his...
I couldn't believe that
one. What do they call it? Incognizance?
Oh, you haven't seen that?
Is that incognizant test? Cognizant test?
Yeah, cognitive.
Cognitive test. All of that I read on YouTube about that, why is he still the president? Because it's the truth. All right. You too.
Oh, should we end this meeting?
Yeah. We're done.
I'll show you the office. We'll get it. We'll pull it up.
With that, we will be out of this meeting at 9:59.
All right.